Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 56. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, gentlemen?
Not too much. What's going on with you?
Just recording, Nate.
How you doing? I'm crazy.
He is crazy. Well, there you go, creepies.
You just never know what's going to come out of the sound engineer, right?
You've heard of Crazy Eights? Well, you got Crazy Nate.
Crazy Nate's
crazy.
I'm doing okay, though. Having a good week so far?
Yeah, it's a good week.
Yeah, it is.
I'd say.
Halfway there. It's hump day.
It is hump day.
Always
right.
Like that. Yeah.
Tromping through,
getting through. Yeah, we have, three episodes recorded tonight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number three, on the way to the creepies right now. I want to greet the creepies. I want to thank them for joining us for mini number 56. I had to look at the number.
We don't thank them enough, do we?
No, we don't thank them. We really don't like them, to be honest with you. We love them.
Speak for yourself.
No, we love you guys.
We don't like them. We love
them.
There
you go. That's right. Love, 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 love.
Like and, isn't strong enough.
That's exactly right, Nate. That's where I was going. We do love our creepies, and we thank you guys for listening to our episodes, and our numbers are showing it.
That's right.
So we are very excited. So thank you guys. What's your name? Sean.
Oh, yeah. My name is Sean. Yeah, it was. Anyway,
hey,
when,
Sean,
I first arrived here tonight, it was Sean. Not Ella.
Let's get to the fun stuff.
My replacement.
What are we going to talk about tonight?
We are going to talk about something that you came up with. This is your pick, Todd. And is the Culbertson Mansion in New Albany, Indiana. So it's one of our local.
Down south. Right
on
across the
Ohio.
Ohio River. Yeah.
I'm definitely going crazy.
You are really
crazy.
I heard you call him Todd, and I was like, that's not his name. I'm like,
it's Todd. Yep, it's still Todd. Yep, it's not Dane. It's not Sam. Man, we are, I think, we're all losing it, aren't we?
It's going to be that much more entertaining.
We need all check our orientation tonight.
We need nameplates or something we can put right here. Oh, yeah, Todd. Here we go. Sean.
I'm Nate.
A little inside joke. Okay, I'm going to do a little foundation on the Culbertson Mansion. It is located, as Sean said, in New Albany, Indiana, by the Ohio River. It was once the home of William Culbertson, who was once the richest man in Indiana. This mansion was built in 1867 at a cost of $120,000. The Second Empire-style mansion has 25 rooms, within 20,000 square feet. So it is not a small house.
No.
It's not a bungalow.
A I can afford to build that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow. It was completed in November of 1869. It was designed by James T. Baines, a local architect. Features within the three-story edifice include hand-painted ceilings and walls, frescoed ceilings. Ooh, fancy, are we? Carved rosewood grain staircases, marble fireplaces, and wallpaper of fabric quality and crystal chandeliers. The original tin roof was imported from Scotland. I mean, whose roof isn't imported? You know,
all right, yeah. Mine?
Yeah, well, mine too, actually. It says, the displays within the mansion feature the Culbertson family and the restoration of the building. The rooms on the tour are the formal parlors, dining rooms, bedrooms, kitchen, and laundry room. So there you go. Little foundation on the Culbertson Mansion. And this place is gorgeous.
I was just going to say, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
It really is.
Yes, and it has a good foundation, right?
I'm going to assume so.
Well, now
but
it's
I'm
been laid.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, this, you know, a lot of these mansions, they're awesome, but then they're, at the same time, they're run down. This place is not that. It's awesome, and it's still in great shape.
It was starting to run down, and they were going to bulldoze it and turn it into like a gas station or something like that?
Yes, and the townspeople said no.
No, yeah, they stopped that, which was good. And so it is officially on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places, which thank God for that, right?
I think it was 70. Are you looking at it? It's like 74. I could be way off.
When it was
something like that.
Mm-hmm. They restored it.
Well, it's a beautiful place, yeah, and it is huge. 20,000 square feet. It's not, like I said, it's not small. I'd hate to clean that place, but oh well.
It said, in its heyday, a railroad ran behind the house. Culbertson had sold land to the railroad, and a streetcar ran from his house toward downtown New Albany. So there I think go. That's interesting. I've never heard of this guy before. Didn't know he was the richest man around this time in Indiana.
I didn't either.
That's news to me.
Yeah. I knew nothing about this mansion. And like I was telling the guys, we were talking about, we got to go to this place because it's not that far of a drive. It's like driving to Louisville.
Mm-hmm. A couple hours.
Yeah. And this also, they do a haunted house attraction every year. And just volunteers, and they take donations. And so far, they've been able to do it every year. So what was the one that you were talking about, Nate? I want to get to that real quick about the haunted house.
Well, I have a list of different themes that they've done. They've done vintage horrors, which takes visitors back in time to Victorian style and is sure to give you the heebie-jeebies. 2019, they did Toxic. 2018, A House Possessed. And 2017, they did the Circus Inferno, The Show Must Go On, which was based on a 1918 Hammond, Indiana, Hedgenbecker Wallace Circus train wreck that killed 86 people and injured 127 others.
Yikes. Wow.
That's bad.
That's awful.
It is. Yeah, I saw a video. Did you guys watch any videos of, I'm not talking about like the house being haunted, but like the attraction?
Yeah, I did. I watched a little bit.
I saw, I think, a 15-minute video. It's pretty fun. This guy, I had never heard of this guy. He goes around, he has a YouTube channel. And so he just goes in. He goes to all these places for like haunted house attractions. And so he goes in by himself and he has his phone or some type of camera and he records as he's walking through. And he was a hoot, but it's a pretty cool place. They do a lot of good special effects and that'd be fun. Yeah, but they rely on just volunteers and. They said so far they've been able to do it each year, and it's growing, I guess, getting pretty popular, as far as the attraction. So, yeah.
You're right about this. 1974 is when it became a historic place, the National Register of Historic Places. Okay. So you're right about that, and it became part of the Indiana State Museum Historic Sites in 1976. And it said, you're talking about the haunted house. In 1985, the tradition of having a haunted house started. In the first 2 years, the mansion itself was used. Using 10 people to acquire $500 as part of a spook run. Mm-hmm. Starting in 1987, the carriage house served as the haunted house. Today, the haunted house requires 100 volunteers. I ran across that a lot of the staff that work there won't go to the carriage house because of unexplained experiences and spooky occurrences.
Electrical problems, mysterious figures moving from room to room, strange sounds after hours, missing items.
Hmm. Keys, wallets, cell phones. Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds like at our house.
Lost numbers,
right?
Lost identity.
AirPods? I have no idea. Lost identity. Yeah.
Who's charging on my card?
Yeah, right. Wait a minute. I didn't. Yeah. So it says in 1933, the house was sold to Dr. Webb and his family. According to the family, the house felt normal until they started hearing noises underneath the house, sounds of clanging, chains, and screams. Horrible smells came up through the floor, and according to Indiana Ghost Detectives.blogspot.org, the disturbances allegedly drove Dr. Webb mad. Local police noticed that there was an eerie quiet coming from the house, so they launched an investigation. Inside, police found the Webb family scattered in different rooms, all violently murdered.
Ooh.
Yeah, in the basement, they found secret passages in hidden rooms discovered to be where Dr. Webb tortured his patients and performed twisted experiments. Bones and remains lay everywhere, some so disfigured that the police weren't sure they were even human. Mm. The house was then boarded up for 30 years until the American Legion bought it in the 1940s. The house has been restored and is today used as a haunted attraction. That's brutal.
That is
Dr.
Creepy.
Webb murdered him. Yeah, that'd be an awful sight to come upon a family wiped out, and then you kind of find out these secret rooms that he tortured patients and stuff. Like, he wasn't very good.
Dr. Webb's taking some new patients. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
Find some. Hey, we're good. We're good. We're okay.
You know what? I'm starting to feel better. Yeah.
My shoulder just doesn't hurt anymore.
It's just but what about that gone. Cough? Oh, no, it's okay.
It comes and goes. It's fine.
Take a minute.
Mainly goes. Right?
Yeah, so this place has some real haunted mystery stuff. And, yeah, that murder, that's not good. Definitely want to check this place out. One of you two got something there you're going to say?
There was a room. I know one of the videos I watched, there is a room that they use, the Culbertsons use for punishing their children. Mm. And it was like...
The whipping room?
The whipping room. Is that what it was called?
I don't know.
That's what you call it, right? But they say that there's activity in there. And there was a dog that wouldn't go into that room, and it seemed mm-hmm. like it was like sensing some kind of a negative energy. So whether you don't know how people punished back then or how severely they punished, but putting kids in a basically closet and kind of locking them in there, I'm sure was not fun. So whatever spirits are in that particular room, it didn't seem like it was very glad to be there. So
yeah, one of the videos I watched, the woman that was, there was like a news crew and she was taking them around the house. And I mean, just the whole time I was like, man, this place is awesome looking. But she showed him it looks like a closet.
Mm-hmm.
From what I mean, it was a week ago. I saw it. I don't remember her saying a special name for it, like a whipping room.
Yeah, I don't.
It was definitely used
I thought that was a joke, but I was like, maybe.
Yeah, but it was definitely used for the kids.
Whooping room.
They would, and it was like, oh my gosh. And so she said that there's a lot of activity in that around there, inside and kind of in that area, because it's so negative how the kids got treated. Says Bob and Tracy Rogers of Jeffersonville were there for a fun date night amid life's busyness as parents of a young child. So. Daniel Heiser, of New Albany, was there because he's an ardent believer in the paranormal. His skeptical wife, Sheila, was there to spend time with him more than the alleged ghosts that supposedly roam the mansion's floors. And Cheryl Lynn Graham of Charleston was there because she's hunted for ghosts multiple times throughout the United States and in Ireland and Australia. So why not investigate the paranormal in her own backyard when given the chance? Says Graham and the Heisers and the Rogers all entered the grand doorway of Culbertson Mansion as total strangers with different interests and beliefs. However, after spending only 4 hours ghost hunting throughout this eerie historical home, together as a team, they all left the seemingly haunted house as newfound friends bonded together by some highly unusual experiences shared throughout the night. It seems unexplained moments with the dead have ironically connected these five souls for life. Bob is quote saying, it was definitely an amazing night about their first ghost hunt. I really enjoyed it and spending time with everyone. For his wife, Tracy, an experience her husband had in a dark and dank servant's bedroom told her there was more surrounding them than met the eye. Said the cold spot around Bob on the third floor was the highlight for me, she said. Said that resonated as a paranormal moment to Cheryl, too. Absolutely, she's quote saying, when it was so stifling for everyone else, she chimed in. Bob confirmed it was an unusual moment for him he can't explain. He goes, yeah, and I always run a little hot, he said. When I couldn't find the source of the cold spot, it definitely lent some credibility to it all. It was pretty wild. And then Sheila said, yeah, we've all felt the cold spot too. So, yeah, there you go. There's a little bit of a paranormal activity.
To go off what you were saying, Todd, there's a really good part here. The Culbertson Mansion's carriage house originally served a dual purpose in the 1800s. To the house, the Culbertson's horse and buggy below and servants in the quarters above. One autumn night in 1888, lightning struck the carriage house, causing a fire that torched most of the interior and killed all living things inside. The new servants refused to live in the carriage house, claiming the place was haunted by the souls of those who perished in the fire. The tragic building remained an empty shell until the early 1930s, when it was reconstructed and transformed into a rental property by the McDonald's. The Webb family moved into the house in the spring of 1933. Dr. Harold Webb, a well-established doctor and dentist from out of state, wanted to settle down in a smaller town and start his own in-house practice, using the carriage house as his home and office. Business was great, and life had returned to the once unfortunate building. Little did they know, something dark and sinister lurked below. The Webb children started to tell stories of a dark man entering their rooms at night through the walls. Noises were heard underneath the house. Sounds of clanging chains, screams, and horrible smells would come up through the floor. Dr. Webb and his wife dismissed the children's stories at first, but they could not dispute the sounds and smells coming from the rooms downstairs. On September 29th, 1934, one of Dr. Webb's few remaining patients arrived for an appointment, but found the door locked and the place abandoned. After a few days of no activity, a police warrant was issued to investigate. What the police found was horrendous. The Webb family had been slaughtered. Each room of the house was littered with the remains of victims who suffered unspeakable deaths. A daughter was found repeatedly stabbed, his son was skinned, and his wife brutally beaten. Perhaps the most shocking of all was what lied beneath the living quarters. A full search of the house revealed an even more macabre and mysterious scene. The basement level of the house had held secret passages and hidden rooms. Webb used these areas for his own evil practices, torturing patients as using them for his twisted experiments. The bones and remains of the patients were everywhere, some so disfigured the police began to question if they were even human. After the investigation, the house was boarded up and remained vacant for nearly three decades. During the days of the American Legion ownership from 1946 to 1964, the carriage house was restored and then reopened for parties and musical events. The staff and attendees reported several unusual occurrences, electrical problems, missing items, strange sounds after hours, and mysterious figures moving from room to room, which is what Nate said earlier. Mm-hmm. Even current staff and volunteers of the mansion have reported strange occurrences in the carriage house over the years. A few have even refused to work in the building. We talked about that. In 1987, the Friends of the Culbertson Mansion started using the carriage house for their annual haunted attraction. Every year, thousands of visitors pass through those ill-fated doors. Some never make it to the end. I saw another thing that said that it's just like demonic activity.
Yeah.
And you can imagine with all that kind of history why that would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
Yeah, because that went into a little bit more detailed about what he did to his family.
Right.
Just killed, I mean, skinned his son. I think, was it the son?
The son, yeah.
And the daughter stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty brutal. I mean,
that's demonic.
I mean, it's bad enough to
right.
obviously kill anybody, but kill your kids. But, I mean, skin them and, oh.
That's so Ed Gein kind of behavior.
Ooh, Eddie. Not Eddie Gein.
Not Ed.
Yeah, this place is crazy. Beautiful and crazy, right? Like Nate, he's crazy.
He's crazy.
I'm crazy.
That's weird. I don't know. It's a sad part of it. Yeah, and then the carriage house that got hit by lightning, so it's had a lot of bad luck, and
God's trying to tell you something, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Okay, so here is another story. It's called Mist Under a Chair. So says her husband Daniel said he felt repeated touches. This is the investigative group. Touches on his head and back several times throughout the night. He's quoted as saying, "I actually didn't believe him at first when we were on the second floor," she said. "I thought he was just being silly." However, it all changed as the night progressed, and she had numerous interactive experiences with the dowsing rods. Mm. You guys know what dowsing rods are, mm-hmm. right? I would imagine our creepies do, but it's like the... How would you explain it? Like...
How you find water under...
Yeah, yeah,
and they cross when
you're... And it kind of zeroes in on... Right. Mm-hmm. In a specific area. So, paranormal researchers believe dowsing rods can indicate haunted areas and the presence of ghosts throughout movements that occur with the rods when yes or no questions are asked out loud. She said, "I felt something when I did those. I felt energy around them. The rods were going so fast that they almost hit me. It was wild. I was getting such strong responses." Cheryl said she had several indicators that otherworldly entities were present. She said in all her time ghost hunting, it was the only time she's experienced the feeling of a hand pressing in my back. Mm. At the same time, another team member said they saw a cloud or a mist under a chair. Under my chair, she said. We later confirmed through the dowsing rods that a presence was within that cloud. Several traditional paranormal research devices were used during Saturday night's paranormal investigation of Culbertson Mansion by researcher Joni Mahan and her team from New Harmony, Indiana. Says the Culbertson Mansion investigation was very intriguing. Several people saw misty shapes trying to manifest, and others felt ghostly touches, Mahan said in a follow-up interview this week. It was fascinating to me as I listened to the audio that I recorded during the event. We didn't always hear it at the time, but the ghosts were definitely interacting with us all night. So they did EVPs, so that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a review of someone that stayed there to paranormal investigate.
Okay.
They went to the overnight stay at the Culbertson Mansion. Cost $100 per person. You arrive at 6 p.m., depart at 6 a.m. Plenty of time for paranormal investigation. Dinner was served, and to her surprise, was excellent, complete with dessert. Tour the mansion by professional, knowledgeable staff. Then they were turned loose in the mansion to investigate. We were asked, they must have ropes roping off spots.
Okay.
She says the ropes came down. We were asked to not touch anything. Everyone treated the historical site with great respect. We were allowed to use our ghost hunting tools. To my surprise, we had the choice of having our cards read by a professional tarot card reader. I had never done this before and was skeptical, but I came a slight believer now. The cards were vague but accurate. You could sleep on the floor and were allowed to bring sleeping bags, pillows. The staff played creepy movies in the parlor for those needing to rest. Coffee and tea was served throughout the night. She did not stay until 6 a.m. She left at 4:30 a.m.
Quitter.
But she was told later that a small breakfast was served.
Oh, okay.
So she missed out on that.
Oh, bummer.
So.
And she says that Mr. Culbertson may be dead, but he still hosts a great event. He was there in his casket. Come and see for yourself.
And that's creepy.
It is creepy.
Yeah, I don't want to see him in his casket.
Yeah.
So apparently he's still there.
That's a good review, though.
It really is, yeah.
Explain what you can expect.
And there were pictures of him in his casket, and it was kind of weird.
I was like, what's going on here with this?
Yeah.
Like, hey, dude. Oh, hey, Mr. Culbertson.
What's up? Love your house.
So $100, when you told me that, I was like, wait a minute.
But that's a lot.
That's a lot of money, but yeah, I mean, you get fed.
Yeah.
So, cool.
And they keep the tea coming. Let's go.
Yeah.
And yeah, 12 hours. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good chunk.
What was you said there's certain, they don't want to touch anything and certain areas are roped off, but I would love, you get the tour too.
You're right, so yeah.
Well, I think that's worth $100. Down.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, like, if a room was roped
off.
The
ropes came down,
for like,
then
because it's a museum, too.
Correct,
so
correct. I gotcha. I was saying it the wrong way, right.
They removed the ropes
so you can get to it.
Yeah. Go in the rooms.
That, I'm sold.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. That was one of my questions is, would we go investigate? It's only, what'd you say?
2 hours.
Less than 2 hours, about 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. I think it'd be awesome.
I would just love to see the house, period.
Haunted mansion.
Yeah,
the house itself would be cool.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to tour that thing.
I call this the Maniac Mansion.
You call that the Maniac Mansion?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like it.
Is that a Sam
Waft?
I smell chemicals.
I have a hint of chemicals, but that's about all I smell.
I don't smell chemicals.
<You're> smell dog straight fart. Up. Yeah, right. I understand.
Wow.
he outdoes himself, doesn't he?
He is bringing
the later, the worse he gets.
Yeah. Well, I like that. It was the Culbertson Mansion. Beautiful place. Go check out the pictures and read about it.
It really is. And
some good creepy history.
Not something I knew about.
I didn't either. So I was searching for, you know, Indiana haunts, mm-hmm. preferably like mansions or houses or whatever, mm-hmm. and that came up, and I thought, I like it. So, yeah, it's only 2 hours away. We could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cool one.
It is. Beautiful. Well, there you go. Nate, what do you think, man?
You guys hear anything about the Mistner of the chair?
No.
What? Smell in the basement?
What? How did we miss that?
Or the clanging noises?
Was there a mist under the chair?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. I wasn't paying attention.
Sean, did you?
We should have covered all that at least a couple, three times.
Well, I guess it's a wrap.
Oh, okay.
Dagnabbit.
I mean, we can review it again. So there you go, guys. You heard the man, Nate, giving his that's a wrap. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Aged Mini number 56. And we were discussing the Culbertson Mansion. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya. By the way, did you guys see anything about the mist under the chair? That would have been the...